In Bethlehem today, 3,000 children gathered in Manger Square in front of the Nativity Church in order to demonstrate in solidarity with the Iraqi people who are being killed by the U.S. and British military. With the 3,000 kids were a couple of thousand moms and a few dads with the moms. A lot of the kids were really, really small, and others were up to about 12 years old. The Israeli military showed up, and a lot of the little kids started to cry. Some of the older kids started to throw stones after the Israeli soldiers started to shoot tear gas. The little kids were really small. A major square and Nativity are in the middle of Bethlehem, which is Area A, which means under Oslo, it's under Palestinian Authority control. It wasn't anywhere near any Israeli imposed checkpoint, not anywhere near any illegal Israeli settlement. The town was not under curfew, nothing. The Israeli military decided to smoke and terrorize business, tried to make sure that people don't feel free to move around inside of their own town. The kids were holding signs and banners, and the Israeli military, besides shooting tear gas at the little kids, also were lobbing sound bombs. And sound bombs are intended to frighten the people. The intention is not to blow the building with these. It's just to make a noise that's like blowing up the building so that the people are really afraid. And of course, the little kids don't know the difference, and they were terrified. Maybe kids are in the hospital. I've yet to hear the excuse that the Israeli military government has come up with for this one.
Was there any other press there? Because I haven't seen anything.
That was something that I was really afraid of, because when I found out about this, I immediately sent out a report and started telling everyone, and none of the international people knew anything about it. They thought that I was referring to the 12-year-old girl that the Israeli military murdered a couple of days ago in Bethlehem. Inside Manger Square, there were lots and lots of media, some international and a lot of local media, the Palestinian media, and also a lot of Arab media. But at this point, in persons who are calling me from the United States, we know that you unfortunately are undergoing an intense media blackout. I saw some of CNN today, international CNN, which is supposed to be a step above U.S. domestic CNN. CNN was trying to stay out of the U.S. administration. There's no freedom of the press in the United States at this point. We know that all news is being funneled to the Pentagon, and what we see that's coming out of the U.S. on CNN is atrocious, to a point where it's laughable if it weren't so horrifying. We're seeing real footage come out of Iraq from many outlets, both Arab and European, and what's coming out in the U.S. is just, it's garbage, it's nothing. They went so far as to say that the Iraqi people were welcoming the invading U.S. British culture. So far as to say that as the Iraqi regime steps up its inhumanitarian acts, the U.S. increases its humanitarian aid. They forget to mention that the U.S. has seen through the U.N. imposed sanctions for the last 10 years. There are 1 million kids in Iraq. They continue to do so. And they stand in the food program, which is absolute blackmail, in order for the U.S. to be able to keep the control of the pricing of oil coming out of Iraq. It's really just sick to watch the amount of lies that they're spinning, and watching it, I realized how many people in the U.S. must be believing it because they're not getting any other information. So I'm not surprised that you in the U.S. do not see anything about Israeli soldiers shooting tear gas, lobbing sound bombs into a crowd of small children gathered in Manger Square in front of the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem.
Could you speak specifically about the imagery you're seeing on in the Western press?
Well, the Pentagon briefing, of course, today just had was the Pentagon symbol, everyone's sporting American flag pins on their lapels. They stand in front of the White House, in front of explosions in Baghdad and around Iraq, where explosions that they stand in front of explosions in the nighttime in Baghdad, where the sky is lit up and where the lights of the city are still on, very far away from the people who are dying under those explosions. They make it out to look like a city of lights, like it's a grand thing somehow. And when they're in the outline, they stand in front of U.S. and British soldiers. They showed U.S. and the British Marine Force breaking into houses today in Iraq, and they said that when the security of the soldiers is at stake, politeness goes out the window. In order to excuse the footage that they were showing us, well, they didn't actually show it. It was all blackened out, but we could hear women screaming and kids crying as they were breaking into houses and throwing people on the ground. And then we saw them mass abductions of the people, putting them in plastic handcuffs, keeping them on the ground, kicking people the whole time, saying that these people might open fire on the soldiers if they don't treat them this way, and then using various ways like that to suggest that somehow the Iraqi people deserve this kind of treatment, and that the safety of the invading army occupying force is somehow preeminent, and that the will and the wishes and the life of the Iraqi people is secondary at best.
Have you seen any change in how they portrayed the actual people of Iraq from last week to this week, being that it's becoming more and more clear that the Iraqi people aren't dancing in the street and waving American flags and welcoming all the soldiers?
What they spent the day doing today, I don't see CNN every day, by the way. I can't stand it. I just tune in every now and again to see what they're up to. And what I saw today is they showed people who, like last week, where they were showing people so desperate for water and for food because of the sanctions, not because of, not waiting for the savior of the U.S. to come in. In spite of the U.S. and its sanctions, people are starving and needing water. And last week we saw people grabbing for supplies that were coming in. What I saw today is there was a handful of Iraqi people waving at soldiers, and we don't know if those soldiers just brought in food or water, or if they were just driving past, or if the people were waving because there was a camera. They're going into areas where the people are devastated, where cameras don't usually go, where many people from the outside don't go very often, and so sometimes people they react in different ways to outside stimulus like that. And we don't know what's the reality behind those pictures, what the actual situation is. But that's what I saw today is on CNN trying to really hammer home somehow that this small group of Iraqi people really wanted the U.S. and British soldiers to be there. And they went so far often as to put words in people's mouths saying, well, really, if they could speak freely, they would say that they hated us at all the same. But of course, they can't speak freely, so they don't say this. You know, I heard the newscaster saying this kind of thing. The amount of editorializing that's going on is just excruciating. I haven't seen any sort of balanced journalism, honest reporting, although I did hear CNN and its, you know, beginning its presentation saying, you know, this is where you get the balance on CNN, part of their slogan. It's not at all what we're seeing on the umpteen other channels that have footage straight out of Iraq. The other channels were seeing people who are really suffering, who have been suffering, and who continue to, people whose lives are getting worse and worse by the minute, as if they're trying to mount a propaganda war on the scale that Israel has mounted against the Palestinian people and gotten away with it so successfully for the last 55 years.
Has the press coverage changed at all since the start of the invasion?
There's almost no coverage in Palestine now, and everyone is covering Iraq. Almost all of the media is covering Iraq. I mean, Arab, European, and American alike. So, of course, the sin coming out of the U.S. media is the most revolting, and the BBC is actually shaping up to be just as bad as CNN. The Arab media as well is watching Iraq. And today, besides the demonstration in Bethlehem where the Israeli soldiers shot tear gassed children, there were more demonstrations in Gaza City. We had two today, actually. We had one during the day, and one candlelight march in the evening. And these were all in support of the Iraqi people. And the media is out in full force to see those things. The Arab media, that is, the local media here, and also the Arab media. Not, of course, the international press. I have not seen any international press here at all in Gaza. There are people that are trying to take precautions and clear about the lack of coverage that they've expected and are seeing now that all media is focused on Iraq here in Palestine. The PA channels are a channel talking about Iraq a lot, but it's trying also to tell the news from Palestine, what's happening here, and also the Electronic Intifada. They are making a concerted effort there to keep all news about Palestine in the front and center of their page, make sure that people know what happened. And that's something that's been a concern for everyone here. All sorts of Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Then emergency meetings and groupings of organizations, people trying to coordinate efforts in order to make sure that information still comes out. People are buying generators that are expected to have power cuts so that they can still try to use their computers to try to get information out there, like walkie-talkies and cell phones to try to run internet through the cell phones. I mean, anything to try to be able to get the information out about what's happening here, what the Israeli military government will do under the cover of this attack on Iraq. You asked me the other day about what the occupation of Iraq will look like and what sort of similarities it might have with the occupation of Palestine. You know, while the situation is very different, some of the similarities are really shaping up through the media, this idea that the U.S. has to do it somehow, that they must attack Iraq and put their own people into power for their own protection, as if the occupying force is required to have protection for the people that it's occupying, suggesting that a lot of this idea that putting the onus on the Iraqi people to work with the U.S. soldiers somehow in order to topple their own president. You know, certainly not that the United States government has suddenly gotten a conscience and wants to help these people through anything. I mean, we know that they've been starving them for the last 10 years and dropping bombs on them for the last 10 years.
During Bush and Blair's last meeting, they had, or the U.S. decided, that U.S. companies were going to take on the responsibility of rebuilding the ports of Iraq, which was an international scandal. And I was wondering...
Of course, and so what CNN band is saying now is that Halliburton is not going to be in charge or part of the rebuilding, but they have gotten the contract to put out the oil fires. And... So I don't know exactly what your question is going to be, but there's a lot of money to be made for U.S. companies, the ones that certainly are all in favor of this attack, and of course because all of the oil interests that are in the cabinet at this point, it's not fair to even just to call it conflict of interest.
Right.
It's a ridiculous understatement to say conflict of interest. You know, at first when you started to ask that, I wanted to say people just laugh about that and say it's so ridiculous. But the longer I listened to your question, your statement, the more sick I felt. Sometimes, in fact, people do laugh here at just how ridiculous it all is. And other times, you just can't laugh. I see this propaganda, though, coming out of the Pentagon, and I know that the Pentagon is filtering all of the news, and I know that the Pentagon came out with a statement and said, never again will a war be covered the way that Vietnam was. You know, I know they said that years and years ago, the beginning of the blackout that they imposed during their attack on Iraq in the beginning of the 90s. How they get away with this, it's remarkable. I mean, you know, the quote stands, propaganda is to democracy, which was in a totalitarian state. You know, this is how they gain control, how they gain consent, their viciousness.
Are there going to be implications in Palestine to the U.S. accusation that Syria and Iran are helping the Iraqi resistance?
The way I can answer that is by saying that I know that one of the conditions that the U.S. has put on the new regime that it's going to pick for Iraq is that it must accept Israel as a state, illegal as it may be. The amount of control that the U.S. is so far able to exert over a nation that's doing its best to resist under the rubble is telling about what the U.S. can do in the world. It can tear the entire place apart. And we see what they do to people who don't serve their interests and when they don't do what they said. As we remember, you know, the U.S. put Saddam Hussein in power because he did what they said, get control of Iran for them. And people will be either manipulated economically or militarily, or both, into doing whatever the U.S. wants. The only hope we have is that the people together will rise up and stop the U.S., both domestically and internationally. All we can really hope for is severe regime change in the United States, a reshuffling of the media so that it can tell the truth, so that the people who believe whatever they see and whatever they hear and whatever they read will get some information that's real.
What's Abu Mazen's role been in all this?
Abu Mazen was picked by the United States and by Israel. Abu Omar does not want him. He does not want him. You know, the Palestinian people don't want him. This man is part of the U.S. machine. I mean, he's in U.S. interests and Israeli interests. Well, that Oslo was ugly. I just wait until what happens after this official declaration of war against Iraq is over. Maybe five times Oslo in an uglier direction than it already was. And Kristen is reporting from the Gaza Strip.